And you know, today we are once again moving through the priestly prayer of Christ. But before we get there, I cannot help but mention, you know, Paul is the perfect exemplar of what it means to be as innocent as doves, but as wily as serpents. And of course, Paul is being brought up. He's gone back to Jerusalem, and the scribes and the Pharisees have seized upon him. And Paul is brought by, a Roman emissary to this Jewish court. And of course, he looks on at the scene and he sees that there are Pharisees and Sadducees there. And, you know, the Sadducees, of course, they don't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees do. The Sadducees don't believe in angels. The Pharisees do. So Paul uses this to his great diplomatic advantage, speaking of being as wily as a serpent. So he basically says, I'm being persecuted for believing in the resurrection. Of course, this makes all the Pharisees stand up in indignation and get, they turn on the Sadducees. And of course, this big fight breaks out between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, causing Paul to have to be rescued by the Roman emissaries to get him out of there, before they tear him to pieces. But it's brilliant. So off he goes, and he's, they put him back in prison, and he gets the word from the Lord that his testimony has been great in Jerusalem, but he's meant to go to Rome, and there he's going to give his final witness, which of course we shall see is going to be his martyrdom and persecution. But there it is. I mean, that's kind of the source of our apostolic lives. And believe it or not, it kind of links up with our priestly prayer of Christ today. So Christ is continuing to pray for his disciples. And he's also continuing to pray for those who will hear, namely us, who will hear Jesus' word through the disciples preaching and through the apostles preaching and through all the various generations of disciples that have come through the apostles right to this very day. So Jesus in this case is praying for us, and he's praying that we will have this loving knowledge that he has with the Father. That's the first thing. So he's praying that we're going to know his heart. And in the knowledge of his heart, we're going to be moved in turn to give that word away to the next generation, as it were. So in this prayer, Jesus is almost like creating not just a church. He is creating a church in this prayer. He is creating, as it were, through his grace that's going out into the future, through the prayer that he's making. He's creating this succession of people who are going to convey his heart, convey the knowledge of love and the loving knowledge, which of course stands at the truth of everything that there is. Yet, there's always the undertone. The prayer is also that the Father protect these, not just the apostles, but the next generation of disciples after them, generation after generation, who are going to take that word, take that loving knowledge, and bring it to their generation. Because, of course, there's going to be ridicule, there's going to be persecution that's going to take place in every era. So the two things that Jesus has prayed for us to get is to get that loving knowledge, to get that knowledge of his heart, to get that knowledge, that deep heartfelt knowledge of God's love within us. That's the first thing. But also to be protected when we go out and preach the same word, because we're moved by the loving knowledge within us to preach the word. So this gets us back to Paul. I mean, there's kind of two sides to what we deal with in our apostolic and lives, our lives of discipleship. On the one hand, there's almost kind of a prayer life, a mystical life, which is the appropriation of the loving knowledge of Jesus Christ, which, of course, is the loving knowledge of the Father, as Jesus explains at the beginning of the prayer. For, of course, he has loved us exactly as he has loved his own Son. No difference, as Jesus says at the beginning of the prayer. Now, of course, we get this other side. So, you know, we're the whole interior life, right? The experience of God's loving love and the experience of loving knowledge of God within us, almost as this peaceful, almost interior, almost mystical, almost gentle kind of, you know, movement that's part of discipleship. And then, of course, you got to contend with the practical, because the minute you try to share this with somebody, there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like it. There's going to be someone who's trying to dash people's hopes. There's going to be somebody out there who's going to dash the responsible view of love, right, in favor of something more hedonistic, more materialistic, right? Something more of this world rather than the otherworldly, the unconditional love of God that we'll find within our hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. So we've got to get practical. So, you know, here we've got this tension of what Ignatius calls contemplation in action, or this tension between being very contemplative, interior, absorbing, you know, admiring, and sort of, you know, beholding, which is contemplation, the love of Jesus Christ, and then utter practicality, right? This practical knowledge where we got to contend like St. Paul with, hey, you know, how am I going to get out of this jam? They're going to tear me to pieces. I got an idea. I'm being persecuted because I'm preaching the resurrection. You know, the guys get him out of there. Very practical. And you wonder, how do you put it together? How do you put together the contemplative, the beholding, with the practical and the active and the being innocent as doves and the being wise as serpents? I mean, how do you put it together? Through the Holy Spirit. How do you put it together? By just moving with the impulses of the Holy Spirit, who will give us what we need in the moment that we need it. And the Spirit enables, I mean, I've had days, honestly, I mean, contemplation, practical action, contemplation. It's just fantastic. It's the life of a Jesuit. It's the life of an active person. But of course, at the same time, we need the Holy Spirit to be kind of the road director, you know, the traffic cop to help us out. And he does. He does help us out. And as he does so, you know, we do great good in the world by being utterly practical and by embracing his love in contemplation. And that's the way Jesus wants it, for us to live in dialectic, to live in a tension between two poles, because they are unified in our spirit and soul through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, who guides us. Amen.